Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. Thank you for joining us for this conversation.
All right, it's story time here on ITSP Magazine, and today's story touches on so many things that I'm passionate about and I get excited about, risk and security management and doing things for the business and making the CISO, helping the CISO become a student of the business and actually become an enabler for business as opposed to somebody blocking all the cool stuff that can happen. And we're going to be looking at strategies and planning, because those are what lead this role, this profession, into that space that we all want. It doesn't happen magically. Only through understanding, research, action can we reach that point. And for those watching this, you're probably wondering, well, who's going to have this conversation with you, Sean? I'm thrilled to have Jen Sanford and Rock Lambros on. Thank you both for helping to have this story time with me.
Thanks for having us, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. So to set the stage so folks know who they're hearing from, Jen, maybe a few words about what you've been doing and what you're currently working on now at Blue Lava.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. So like Sean said, I'm on the team over at Blue Lava, and my main goals is I work with our customers and our partners as well as various advisors, figuring out what is the next set of problems, what are the industry needs, where can we help further, you know, connect security to the business side of the house, and use that to help to define our roadmap here at Blue Lava.
Love it. And Rock, all the things you're doing, what's going on?
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, hi, everyone. I'm Rock Lambros, and apologies if you were expecting the other Rock. I hope you stick around anyways, if you're disappointed. But Rock Lambros,
this is going to be way better than the other Rock.
This is true. I should have trademarked the name. That kind of tells you how old I am. But I run a cybersecurity consulting organization based out of Denver, Colorado, called Rock Cyber. Full disclosure, I'm an advisor to Blue Lava. I got tied in with Blue Lava because before starting my consulting company, I've been in cybersecurity for over 20 years, and most of those really on the practitioner side. And, you know, I saw some of the things that they were doing and with the roadmap that really, you know, kind of pumped me and jazzed me, and I thought would be transformative with regards to the security program management space. If I would have had the capability to manage and report my security programs that Blue Lava gives to me, I may still have hair and I may have fewer grays here on my chinny chin chin. So happy to be here with both Jen and even you, Sean.
Even me. I'll get the nod there. I'll take it, Rock. So let's talk about this. I'll be painfully obvious here, or painfully transparent, when I say we as an industry tend to talk tech to tech, don't get involved in the business conversation in the ways we should. And there's a lot of rambling of, we need to speak more business, translate what we do in tech and security to be more like what the business wants to hear. I find it difficult to find that connection point. So maybe some CISOs start in business and they're able to make that connection. Those that start in tech and move their way up, or start in security and move their way up into a leadership role, are still very rooted in security. That's my own perspective. So I'm wondering how we break this cycle of being disconnected And so, Rock, maybe I'll lead that off with you, your perspective on that, working with a number of clients.
Yes, I think you're dead on. So I think what many CISOs are missing, or what they're struggling with, is to connect the dots between business drivers, such as revenue, margin, market share, reducing friction, scalability, whatever that may be, to cybersecurity initiatives and how those initiatives can really enable those business drivers. But they're also missing a way to report on the effectiveness of those initiatives in terms that company leadership can understand. And that's usually in the terms of dollars and risk. For example, we need DLP. Let's go invest in a bunch of DLP. I've just invested $1 million in DLP. Did it really move the needle from a risk reduction standpoint? Could I have known at the $100,000 mark if I was moving the needle versus waiting until I spent the full $1 million? Could I have reallocated those dollars accordingly? Those are the types of questions that CISOs are having a hard time with. And that's, if we can crack that nut, then I think we get out of that rat race of vulnerability, technical, right? The tech jargon that tends to come out of our mouths most of the time, where, business leaders just immediately kind of drawn out.
Exactly. And Jen, your view on this as well.
Yeah, I think that Rock is exactly right. And it goes both ways too. So security leaders say, I need to do these things to prevent future breaches, to make sure that, we're secure across the board. I mean, we all went through and saw how dynamically things can change when suddenly every security leader in the country was saying, my goodness, are all of our endpoints protected when everybody had to go home? Is all of our, the crown jewels still covered when abruptly everything changed? And to be able to translate that need. So just the same way, they want to be able to show the results, to be able to explain where they're coming from and why they need that money. They need to be able to translate into business terms there as well. So both on the, hey, here's my need I need to explain, and then here's what I got out of it, what difference we made. And it's really fascinating to me to think about how that even bubbles up to the board. I mean, we're all aware there's not usually a lot of security folks on boards. So that's, sort of a putting you behind at the beginning. But even just how we're seeing CISOs being able to connect those dots in presentations. I was working with a customer the other day, and they had this big move to the cloud initiative, and they had a big board presentation. And so the team that's doing the cloud movement gets up and gives an entire presentation. It goes great. And about 20 minutes later, security stands up and gives their update that was completely connected. All of their initiatives were actually able to be tied to this business initiative, but it was so divorced from the reporting side of the house, the board had to say, wait a minute, what are we doing here? And it immediately sets the security team at a disadvantage. And being able to speak in that business language is not only just about the board, but it's about creating a culture of security across the organization. Wouldn't it be great if you knew that everybody across the team, across your whole enterprise, knew why security was important? And to quote Rock, isn't just the department of no.
Well, to me, it seems like reverse requirements management, where yeah. when it comes to the IT stack, I need to set up this portal for my partners to log in through and manage our relationship with them. Make that happen, right? Then IT mm-hmm. runs off and finds the stack elements, and they say it's going to cost X to make that business transaction happen. And very, unless it's a compliance driven thing, very seldom is it make this more secure. So it seems like CISOs are driving the requirements up back to the business. So how do we get to a point where we can say this is a requirement connected to the business thing that you're looking to achieve? And perhaps, I don't know if we get to this point at some point in the conversation, but perhaps there's a security requirement that enables new business because it unlocks a way that business can take place or transact. So Jen, your thoughts on that initially?
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, this idea of being able to move out of the sort of tactical defensive route and being able to kind of pull up and say, here's some things we could do that are going to enable us down the road. And a lot of it has to do, I think, with, again, getting the right stakeholders in the room and helping the CISO have the language to say, here's where we're strong, here's where our opportunities are. How does that tie to our business needs? And again, like you said, it's exactly requirements. If everything is being sort of done in reverse and saying, we want to do this, what do you need to do is sort of the bare minimum. It gets into that, you know, the best way to put it here, the business is saying we need a faster horse. And what we want security to be able to do is I'm going to build you the car you need. And so it's being able to, again, bring that team together and say, what is our long-term vision? And how does that security roadmap tie to that to be able to get ahead instead of it being an after-the-fact standpoint?
And it's interesting, Rock, I want your thoughts on this, because we still use the terminology horsepower for cars, right? Which was originally, I believe, defined based on the number of horses drawing the buggy or the carriage or whatever. And I don't know, is it, that's something everybody can understand, right? In terms mm-hmm. of a car language. So how do we get to a point where that terminology is embodied in us as security professionals, such that we can have the conversation of revenue and growth and market share and customer satisfaction and whatever else matters to the organization?
Yeah, so I think we have to be invited to those conversations, right? And to be invited to those conversations, we have to, shocker, get away from our keyboard and go make friends, right? Long story short, we have to actively seek out the answers to a lot of those questions. How does the company make money? What are the different revenue drivers? What are the you know, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year initiatives, right? Are you in the middle of a digital transformation initiative? Are you at the beginning? Are you at the tail end of it? Hopefully closer at the beginning so you could have more of an influence and a say. You know, all these things without uttering the words, but we're going to get hacked, right? Or we're going to have a data breach if we don't do XYZ, right? It's actually taking a step back, looking around and getting kind of that overall situational awareness of your organization and its goals and its drivers and its direction and its strategy. So then you can start, making the dots. Maybe you recognize that the sales team can't access customer information while they're on the road, making it really hard to go into meetings prepared. So you work with IT to propose a new CRM solution, or they can access anywhere. And as a result of it, you're integrating single sign-on and multi-factor authentication that is seamlessly pushed to their phone, and they can get customer information on demand anywhere they want, right? So it's those types of conversations where you're actually kind of initiating the conversation and saying, hey, wait, we can help, right? And here's how.
Well, let's talk about the how. And Jen, I want to go to you for this, because one could presumably have a conversation and from the cuff know enough to be dangerous. But it's when we have information handy, right? So when we know what the business drivers are, and we can loop that back to our program, and then from the program back to the business, right? Mm-hmm. Then those conversations become more meaningful. We can help drive their strategy in a way that's more secure. We can define our programs that support the business, and then all of that gives us the chance to have a meaningful conversation. So how do we get that? And I know Blue Lava has been working on some modules in the platform to enable some of this. So describe kind of that flow for me, if you will.
That's a great question. And I think there's a few different things in there that are important to point out, because it's not only having the data, but especially, I mean, you know, if you've been, as Rock says, sitting at your keyboard for a while and just been so overwhelmed, when you do get up to go and have those conversations, who do you talk to? How do you know that if you have to make some decisions, and we all know CISOs don't have, you know, boundless amounts of free time, how do you make sure you're talking to the right folks? So, you know, when we were designing things, even starting at the assessment, being able to have a great baseline of say, great, where are my existing strengths? Where are my existing, you know, opportunities for investment? And then how do I prioritize those? Having that data is really important, we believe, because again, when you've got all that and it's near real time, so you're not, you know, saying, great, I have data that's 4 months old. You've got data that was collected within the last couple of weeks max. You also know, okay, great, here's this area is an opportunity for us, right? Man, we've really been bringing on the vendors lately, and maybe we haven't been following some of our processes, or we realize we're missing some processes. Great. Now what? When you know who to talk to, who was the person that said, hey, you know what, we actually haven't updated that process in a while. We haven't been, you know, following our own guidelines. If you can put down your keyboard and say, I need to go talk to, you know, Jack across the hall, or across the business, or maybe he's sitting in another locale, it gives you a place to start to have the meaningful conversation to say, great, what are you working on? How is this impacting you? How can we not only solve this, but like you said, Sean, be able to get ahead of it, and provide the best possible outcome. So full access to data, full access to know who to go speak with, and then making sure that data is pretty robust, have it has the breadth and depth to make sure that you're measuring everything that matters.
And speaking of measurement, Rock, setting a baseline, how important is that, and how is that leveraged as you define, redefine, expand, contract your program?
Yeah, so from the consulting standpoint, almost every engagement I do, no matter what the type of engagement, starts with a where are you at now? And because without understanding where you are at now, you don't understand how to get to where you want to go, right? Or whatever that stake in the ground may be. And so having that baseline to build upon, and honestly, the worse off, you know, I don't want to necessarily say negative, but the worse off your program is, or the more early stage that your program is, let's put it that way, is the more critical it is to get a baseline, right? So that you can build upon it and build these repeatable processes to continuously reassess yourself and then be able to say, okay, based on where I'm at now with this current measurement, with this current data that I have, here are some of the initiatives I'm going to outline and put in place. I know I have X amount of dollars. Here's how I'm going to allocate those dollars. And then I need to be able to measure, are those dollars being as effective as I thought they would be from a risk reduction standpoint or a maturity improvement standpoint, right? However you're measuring it. And if not, I notice that early and I, you know, shift and pivot accordingly, right? So instead of waiting another year for another big four to come in and take a lot of your money to drop off a big static report on your desk and walk away, you've got kind of this living, breathing organism that you can continuously go back to evaluate yourself, do what if analyses, all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, and Rock, you bring up some really good points there too. You know, when you think of that baseline as the jumping off point, it's not only where are you sitting at that point in time, but it becomes a way to measure time over time. Imagine, you know, being able to assess as frequently as you want to. And again, when we talk about assess, I know that immediately kind of, oh my goodness, that's the once a year major thing we do. Everyone's calendars are blocked off. That was one of the first things that we wanted to tackle at Blue Lava. So how can we, like, man, we're living in the 21st century. Let's slim that down. So we've been having quite a few customers I mean, on average, we're talking about 75% time saving, literally to weeks. So having that baseline, again, that covers, I mean, in our specific framework, you know, the 11 key disciplines, right, that we're basing on tribal knowledge of CISOs across the industry, letting you know your strengths and weaknesses across that, and then, you know, sort of breaking that down into what we call our capabilities. You could, you know, a similar way to look at it would be the categories of NIST, right? Being able to measure across 75 of those as well. So you've got a really comprehensive place to start and say, great, now I know where I'm sitting across this. What's important to my business? Where do I tie all that together? And then you've made some improvements. You want to measure again. You could run another assessment. Again, we're talking just a couple of weeks. And whether that's quarterly, you know, annually, semi-annually, getting ready for board, depending on how often you present, and being able to show that growth over time very easily. So, hey, here's where we were this time last year. Here's what we got. And being able to quickly spin up a diagram, you can even map it to NIST, and to be able to show those stakeholders the improvement you've had. Another thing that we brought up, brought in really quickly here, is to make sure that you can mirror it to your business. You've got that full set of disciplines and capabilities I talked about, but I think it's really important wherever you are, whatever tool you're using, to make sure it speaks to what's important to you. You got an M&A coming up? Great. Is security getting to look at what they're doing before you start integrating them with your things? Maybe you might even change the decision if you're going to get something if they're scoring really low on security. So having some of those things on demand to baseline not only your existing program by region, by acquisition, or having that point in time you can quickly refer back to, I think can be really powerful.
Yeah, I think Jenny nailed it, right? So what the platform does beyond this, several things, right? First is it also takes application security into account, whereas frankly, the cybersecurity framework really doesn't. But then it takes it to the business view, right? It allows you to translate and pivot it to the business view, right? Whereas you sit down with the NIST cybersecurity framework and you go through each of the controls, they're all primarily technical controls, a little bit around business process with regards to business continuity and that sort of stuff. But what the Lava platform allows you to do is take all that information and more, as you said, kind of collected from the brains of CISOs and practitioners over the years, and allows you to pivot that to the business view, right? So whether it be at a business unit level, you said at a potential M&A, rolling them all up into the grand organizational view, and also then using that, like that taxonomy, right, of risk and dollars and cents to be able to communicate that upstream to organizational leadership, the board, or whatnot.
Yeah, and I think what I feel, and you can confirm this, but I feel most CISOs struggle with is getting out of the tactical, right? They're under the barrage of constant threat, perhaps even dealing with incidents, stricter condensed budgets that don't always map to what they think is important. And so
talent gap.
Exactly.
I use that in quotes for a reason, but that's probably another podcast.
We can do that one. So the planning, if they actually find time to do any planning, is trying to figure out how to make sense of all that and take some of the pressure off their shoulders. And very seldom can they get to a point where they can plan bigger for supporting the business at a grander scale, let alone get to the strategy level. So let's take that view here as we go to this next point of how do we, you mentioned DLP, Rock. So spend $100,000 and then before you know, you spend $1 million. When was that a worthwhile investment? Was $100,000 enough? Was that a waste completely? And you should have put it in 2FA. Well, why didn't you have 2FA? The interesting thing is I'm talking about is that's all technical stuff still. And it's not about what e-commerce site are we driving revenue through and how are we helping to make that possible, right? How does DLP support that? How does 2FA support that? So talk to me, maybe Jen, if you can, about how we get out of our security program plan into more of the business enablement, revenue generation, revenue protection planning, using the data and information you have in the platform?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it all starts with, how do you look at it and begin to prioritize it, again, in a way that is through your specific business's lens? Seldom are you going to find a thing that say, you know, every single, especially as you, again, you continue to mature and move onto the strategic side of the house. If everybody could have perfect security, we would all just check the box and go home and we're done. But you need to make decisions, be able to prioritize to your specific business. And that starts by being able to filter the data through that business lens. So whether that is starting and saying, you know, working with some folks on our professional services team and saying, great, we're going to look at our taxonomy here. What are the important elements that are really important to that tie and map to your upcoming business objectives? And then let's run some simulations, right? Let's create some what if scenarios and say, what if you did this? What kind of, you know, we'll pull out our old t-shirt sizing here that we all know and love. What's my effort score? What's my people score? What's my time score? How do I pull all that together and mirror it with priority that is, again, you know, we put together an algorithm that says, great, based on where you want to be and where you are today, we help you prioritize what's most important to you. And then having a little presentation that you can take to stakeholders and get buy-in. Because again, it all starts with having information that is in an easy to digestible way that you can sit down with folks and say, here's where you want to go. Here's three different paths we can get there. Let's have a system of record here of which one we've chosen. I'll be able to come back to you and say, here's where we got and here's what we got out of it, right? Rock, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I think you're dead on, right? I think the what if scenarios to me are fantastic. You know, you kind of get out of Excel spreadsheet world, and you can tie those what if scenarios to actual improvements in your baseline or in the, you know, to your prior assessment. So you can make those knowledgeable, risk-based and fact-based spending decisions upfront, rather than saying, you know what, we're going to have this project, we're going to implement this. I love picking on DLP. This DLP project, you know, because, you know, the various needs of the business, and we all know that DLP is really hard to do right. So being able to do some of those what-if scenarios, say, you know what, maybe DLP isn't going to give us the risk reduction or the increase in capability that we thought it was. Let's look at some other compensating controls. Let's look at identity and access management and, you know, multi-factor authentication and wrapping around, you know, putting our data around a greater bubble rather than trying to inspect everything going in and out, right? So, I mean, it may allow you to pivot your strategy.
And for me, the holy grail, and people who listen to our podcast know I say this quite often, the holy grail for me is not just taking a set of business requirements and making them more secure. A mature program for me is one that says, or it's part of the discussion of, here's the business we want to run. And as it's being defined and architected and developed, security is part of that. And maybe you choose a different tech stack. Maybe you choose a different workflow process. Maybe you choose a different way to engage with customers than the way you thought initially was the way you were going to do it. And so at the strategy and plan level, have the conversation to say, here's how we're going to enable that securely versus taking it on the backside when everything is already built, and now you have to put the compensating controls in. You're forced to choose between the one or maybe the one or two, and maybe neither are great. So I'm interested in this what if scenario. How do we leverage that? Because Jen, you mentioned earlier the culture of security. How do we leverage this to really drive toward that culture of security throughout that is very business focused? So you have those conversations that bring you up to that level versus just following behind and picking up the pieces.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it starts with making some of the information accessible. I know if I have a security question and everyone on my team is busy, I can always call Rock, but eventually Rock's going to start ignoring my phone calls. And so if there was some information, you know, built right in there, you know, I just like to tease you. If there's information built right in there that gives that guidance and also takes some of those complicated security terms, right? If you ask, you know, Joe in finance, hey, what are we doing to help with DLP? He's going to be like, hang on, let me pull up Google, right? And so being able to break it down, and when you spin up these projects and you're syncing with people across the company, right? Security is a team sport. You're building that culture, and you're having them take ownership in helping build the security for whatever business initiative they're working on. It's putting it in their language and giving them some guidance. So, you know, when we talk about strategy and planning, or strategic planning and spinning up projects here at Blue Lava, we say, hey, great, here's a gap you've got. Here's a requirement you need to meet. Here's a bunch of other information about that. Here's why it's important in layman's terms. Here's ways you can you know, help bring it to fruition. It's a few different options. And again, you know, and we also have folks on standby to help you as well. So it's, again, providing that knowledge outside of, you know, just security awareness training, but making it part of the day-to-day and having it really accessible to help get ahead of it, I think can go a really long way towards building that culture.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And anything to spur conversation so that we can kind of level set, right? We also say business folks need to understand the risk. And mm-hmm. so we need to help them understand that as well. So it's definitely a two-way street and a single culture. Rock, as we wrap here, any examples you can share of how more strategic thinking from the CISO connected to the business can do good things for the business?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll share an engagement I did with one of my clients, new CIO. They are a device manufacturing organization. You know, and the new CIO kind of had a feeling that, well, data was leaving the company and had left the company. And so he brought me in along with Blue Lava to kind of get a lay of the land. Now, Blue Lava is not going to do a breach assessment or anything like that, but what it allowed us to do for the first time in that organization's history is to establish that baseline and, you know, essentially align that baseline to the fact that sensitive data had left the organization and, you know, tie it back to the, you know, the why, you know, the environment was enabled to allow that to happen. And, you know, we were able to put that into business terms that the CIO was able to take it to the board and to the audit committee and get funding for program investments and investing in technology stack and people stack and, you know, and frankly, security awareness programs to drive security awareness programs throughout the organization, and even integrating HR processes into that culture of security to ensure that when people leave the organization, they aren't walking out the door with a bunch of sensitive information.
Yeah, I love that. And I couldn't help but crack a smile when you said the people stack after the tech stack, because that's a running joke Marco and I have. I say there's a people stack. Marco doesn't believe it, but there certainly are people.
Absolutely.
And
people run the tech, right? Right.
Exactly.
Or else the tech just sits there.
Exactly. It's not magic. It's not. So, but speaking of the people, Jen, I mean, the work that you've been doing through Blue Lava, certainly super smart people there. I know a lot of the team members, but it's also built by the super smart community of CISOs and security leaders like Rock and others. And so maybe a message for you as the final close to CISOs, what can they do to partake of this and also contribute to this, right? So what's working, what's not, that's all part of what you're doing.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Sean. You're exactly right. We always say we were built with, by, and for the security community. And, you know, we're a security organization, but in my heart, we're also a little bit of a mission-driven organization that we want to leave the security industry better than we found it. And so that doesn't, you know, that's not about dollars and cents. That's about the people side. So we're continually growing our community. We're holding masterclasses. If you look at it, look up at Blue Lava on LinkedIn, we're very frequently posting about these masterclasses. These are completely free. They're open to everybody. They're not sales pitches. It really is about bringing in industry leaders and helping enrich the community as a whole. A lot of times we even pair people up in like mentor, mentee situations, et cetera. So check it out. Come to look up one of our events. When in doubt, you can always reach out to me as well. You can find me on LinkedIn or you know, we can figure that part out, but come to one of our classes. If you're interested in hosting one, again, reach out to us. We would love to partner and build some of that together.
Yeah, I think that last point says it all for me, mm-hmm. right? Because again, you can build the best tech, but if you don't have the right people behind it, and you just open it up for people to participate, I love that. So strategy and planning. You can't get there if you're buried in the tactical. And if it's all technical and the strategy and planning, you're really not supporting the business, which is what we're trying to do here. And Jen, Rock, thrilled to have this conversation with you. Hopefully this got everybody to think a little bit and more importantly, to get off their keyboard and engage with their peers, with their leadership team, and with Jen and the Blue Lava team and Rock as well. So thanks for telling this Blue Lava story about strategy and planning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks again for having us, Sean.
If you enjoyed this podcast, share ITSP Magazine with your friends, family, and colleagues. Thank you for listening.